Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Mariola Klepadu. I'm coming from University of Arkansas, where I belong to the soybean breeding and genetics program advised by Dr. Peng Yin Chen. So I'm really happy to be here today because I would like to present you a little big story about the discovery of first SNP available SNP markers for RSV4 gene. And we try to get closer, so it's going to be also a part of the fine mapping of the RSV4. So starting with that, I think most of us know how wide spectrum of soybean use we have right now. So we use it not only for human consumption, we use it also for animal fodders and for industry like for biodiesel production, for ink, solvents, and even cosmetics. So what about soybean mosaic virus? Soybean mosaic virus is a threat in the soybean industry. And then with that, we know that soybean mosaic virus is the most common and the most economically serious disease caused by virus and any other crops. And starting with that, I would like to show you the symptoms that is caused. So the mosaic symptoms caused by this virus, you can see on the picture over here. And in general, we have a misshapen leaves, and we have a seed coat mottling, and also there are some other responses like necrosis, which looks like the plant is discolorated, and the plant is stunted, and it causes a plant death in the end. So what about genetics? We have three loci identified so far for soybean mosaic virus, and RSV1 gene is resistant to less virulent strains in the United States. And they show a partial resistance, a dominance, and we have 10 alleles. RSV3 is the opposite, kind of opposite one, because we have the gene that it causes resistance to more virulent strains. And it shows complete dominance with six alleles. And at the end, we have RSV4 gene, which is the most desirable gene for us because it shows resistance to all identified strains. So in my research, I focus mostly on RSV4 gene as the gene with the biggest interest. From literature, we know that RSV4 locus was mapped on the chromosome number 2 with a genetic map that you can see on the picture. And after all the years, people were adding more and more markers. However, they are all SSR markers. And we have some candidate genes. So right now what we have between two closest markers, it's an interval of 2 centimorgans, which actually is a pretty big fragment. And I need to mention over here that RSV4 resistance cannot be identified right now by any available markers. So our objective was to identify the closest possible marker to find a perfect SNP marker, which is going to be correlated to the resistance. So it's going to be a perfect tool for marker-assisted selection and gene pyramiding. And also, I need to say that if we find a perfect marker, it's going to be a very good tool for replacing the screening method that takes right now 2 months, so we can get a SNP and do it in 1 day. And we have a long-term goal, of course. We need to, after we get the SMV resistance, we can incorporate to the high-yielding cultivars, because we want to, of course, the growers take income from it. So starting with that, we got 100 soybean genotypes from GRIN, and then we got 25 random SNP markers in this interval that I said, 2 centimorgans interval. So that was completely random. We didn't know really we are going to find something or not. So we use the iPlex sequenome genotyping platform to do that. So it's a multiplex method where in one sample we could detect 25 different SNPs. And after that data analysis, we got actually one SNP. And somebody can say, that's not a lot, but actually that was the beginning of digging inside the genome for us. So after we got the SNP, we found the SNP position in the genome from the soy base. And after that, we found that this SNP is located on a specific gene in from the soy base. And then we decided to sequence this gene to see if we can find something else over there and confirm what we got, the first possible marker. So we got a primer design from a batch primer 3, and we ran three different sets because we had the gene fragment was so big, so we had to divide it into three. We had to amplify three different fragments. And after sequencing, we got sequence alignment by a bioedit, and we blasted sequences of 10 different cultivars. So in those 10 cultivars, we got three different cultivars that they had RSV4 gene. And after that, after we got it, then we had some results from the iPlex sequenome and the SNP validation from CROSS. And results we got after sequencing were actually amazing, because from 10 cultivars we got, as we can see in the blue box, it doesn't matter if the line had any kind of gene for resistance or no gene at all, but they were showing no differentiation in the SNP. But when we have RSV4 cultivars and we know that they have this gene, the SNP was changing every single time. So after the results we got three, after sequencing of the specific gene, we got three SNPs. So after that, we decided to use a bigger scale of our experiment, and we use 293 samples from green, and then we decided to screen them with the iPlex platform again. So we designed new 25 primers that they were closer to the location that we found the first marker, and then we screened them for RSV4 gene. So this in the table we have a representation of all the SNPs. We found that this is a proposition for carrying RSV4 gene. And these are just partial results, because in the 293 cultivars we got, we had many checks, over 50 checks. So these are just partial results of that. So we can see that every time we had a 100% match, that every time when we had a genotype with RSV4 gene, we had a change of the SNP. So we confirmed those three SNPs with a bigger scale of experiment. For SNP validation, we wanted really to confirm what we got. And we made a cross between the resistant and susceptible line, V94, 51, 52, and LE68. We got the segregation population F2. And after that, we decided to use a CASPER system, which is a system for detection of single SNP in the reaction. And then we wanted to combine genotypic data with phenotyping data with a screening with SMV G7 strain to get a linkage analysis and finally the genetic map. So for a phenotypic results, we wanted to see the reactions of the soybeans, the foliar reactions. So we don't really see the parents that you can see in the table. They, after crossing, they don't really show the necrotic reactions, which is on the picture in the middle. they show only resistance susceptible, which is very easy to score. And from the linkage analysis results, we got entire genotypic data. And from here, we were screening for nine different SNPs. From nine different SNPs, we got six. We got three old that we had before and three new. So actually, we got in the end six different SNPs. And you can see a distribution of different alleles of each SNP. So they show us a perfect ratio 1:2:1. And the total number of sample was 766 because we wanted to have a high resolution map to create a high resolution map for this reason. And our phenotypic data is not ready yet. We started to screen it so we can see resistant and susceptible lines right now in F2-3 populations. So about the discussion, we got the first one SNP, and I mentioned this digging. So we had the sequencing. We got a huge spectrum. So we got three different SNPs, and after that we conferred with iPlex. So we narrow down a little bit. We started to think, oh, that can be a candidate gene, and after that we used the CASPR method for population for validation of our SNPs. So we narrowed down again the fragment, and after that we got three new and three old SNP markers very closely located to the RSV4 gene. And for discussion, is that genetic resistance is best available right now methods, because we know that like control of the virus is very hard. So the chemical control is neither economically and environmental friendly. So we know that genetic resistance is the best available method right now to control the virus. And we wanted to prove that this marker that we got, the six markers, is an excellent tool for marker system breeding, and we have proposed a candidate gene for RSV4.
It comes untaped. If you wanted to keep reading your discussion, I'll try to jiggle it.
Okay, so for a future work, we have to admit we have a very ambitious project to do. So first of all, we have to finish our phenotyping for creating a linkage map. And then we have a candidate gene, so we would like to use a gene expression analysis to see if under the virus is gonna be upregulated or downregulated during the virus response. And then if we get a gene, if we confirm it, then we would like to use a cloning method for cloning and soybean transformation to the susceptible cultivar. And also we would like to try a gene knockdown or knockout of the resistant cultivar. And at the end, we would like to use the same strategy for RSV1 and RSV3. So there are two other genes that we have right now. And the perfect method could be to get allele-specific SNPs for differentiation. With that, I would like to thank our sponsors and our collaborators, and I can take some questions at this point. Yes? Okay, when we started sequencing, we got three SNPs, and after that, we used a different method. We confirmed those three SNPs. So we got two methods that we got the same results. And after that, we got we wanted to get a fine mapping. So we had three SNPs on the gene we wanted, plus some that on the sides that we wanted to see if there is a recombination ratio, recombination fraction different. Yes, sir. Yes, we got a recombination. We didn't finish that yet. We know that we can see that already, but we don't want to do anything before we get our phenotypic data to combine it together. But we have a very huge population, so we hope we are going to have high resolution map.